In our reading today, we heard very familiar teachings about anxiety. We heard that we shouldn't worry about what we're going to have to eat or what we might wear, because the Lord will take care of us. And more importantly, the Lord tells us there are more important things to worry about, like your soul. That's what you should worry about. Now, there's an interesting thing about worry. There are two kinds. There are two kinds of worry and anxiety. One is from hell. It's the kind of worry and anxiety that makes you all torn up inside about all the things in life that you value most and makes you think that you can't have anything that you need. It's the kind of worry that tells you that it won't be all right. It's the kind of worry that makes you want to stay in bed all day. It's the kind of anxiety and fear and worry that makes you think, I'll never be able to do it. You may have experienced this if you've had a big project, like if you've had to fill out your taxes, or you had a worksheet or a paper or a test, and you thought, I will never be able to do this. I don't even know how to start. That kind of worry and anxiety is from hell, which means what should you do with it? Shun it. We'll return to the idea of shunning anxiety in a moment. But there's another kind of worry or anxiety that should better be called guilt. And guilt and the worry can sometimes be good. For instance, what if instead of a test, or what if you think you can't do anything, instead you think, I have been mean to my mom. I was rude to my friend. I broke somebody else's thing. I stole something. If you're worried about those kinds of feelings, good. You're supposed to feel guilty about the bad things you've done. But you're supposed to get started. Now there's a story in the middle of the Lord's warning about anxiety. And it's an interesting story. It's found in Luke, and it begins with the Lord teaching about anxiety and worship. And one of the men says, Teacher! You can imagine, maybe he wants the Lord to teach him something, but he asks for something else, and it's not good. He says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He wants his brother to give half of all his stuff to him. Think about that. Imagine that you came to the Lord, and what you wanted the Lord to do for you was to take half of all of your friends' or brother's stuff and give it to you. What would the Lord say to you? Teacher, make him give me all his stuff. Is that the kind of question we should ask the Lord? The Lord said a story in response. He told a story about a man who had lots of fields, and he grew lots of grains and fruits. His fields produced a lot of bounty. He was rich with all the food that he had gotten up. But he had a problem. He had barns, but they weren't big enough to store it all. So he thought, I'll tear down the small barns, build bigger ones, and I'll be able to store up so many fruits that I won't have to work ever again. I can just eat, drink, and be happy. So I will never have to do anything useful ever again. So he thought, I've got all this good stuff, so I can be lazy. That's what he concluded. And the Lord said that God said to him, Senseless one, this night they require thy soul of thee. In other words, tonight you're going to die. And when you're dead, what use are those things that you have prepared? If you've gathered up all these fruits into these barns thinking you're going to live a long and lazy life, and then you die, who cares that you had all these things in your barn? If you have lots of toys and lots of money and lots of wonderful things, and you're hoarding them, you don't want to share, and you don't want to have other people mess with them, and you die, all those things, they don't matter. Who cares that you had all those things? Well, there's another risk, not just death. If you're hoarding all your things, if you have all these delicious things for yourself, or all these toys, or all this wealth, all these wonderful things, and you don't want to share them with anyone else, and you're miserable, who cares that you have all those things? What does it profit you? What good is it to have anything good or nice if you're miserable? So how can you be happy? Now, our recitation was the Ten Commandments. And the end of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor his wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's." Covet. Covet means looking over at your neighbor's things and thinking, I should have them. They should be mine. We can see how coveting is related to stealing, or related to that man who said, "Teacher, make my brother give me half of his stuff." We can see how coveting is directly related to that. But the heavenly doctrine tells us more, that coveting isn't just about thou shalt not steal, but it's about thou shalt not murder, commit adultery, or bear false witness. And even that coveting is about worshiping other gods, taking the Lord's name in vain, keeping the Sabbath, and honoring your parents. Coveting, the word tells us, is all of the Ten Commandments in one, but in your heart. Think about how you behave and how you really want to behave. This is a tricky thing for some of us, especially for some of us younger ones. But this is the Lord's challenge. He doesn't want us to just not steal the other people's things. He doesn't want us to just not be cruel and not be cheating and not be deceitful. He wants us to not want to do them. Have you ever wanted to be mean and then you weren't, but you still thought, well, if I could get away with it, I would say something really mean, but the teacher's standing there, so I'll be quiet? Or have you ever thought, well, I would probably steal this cookie, but Mom may walk into the room, so I better not? Or have you ever thought, I really want to cheat and to steal and to lie, but the Lord's watching, so I better not? That's a good beginning. But the Lord wants you to not want to do evil. It's asking something bigger of you. It's going to be hard. Not only do you have to not do evil, you have to not want evil. This is going to be really hard for some of you, probably all of us. So how does it happen? True Christian religion, number 326, teaches, no one can be born anew or regenerated and so become an internal man except by the Lord's doing. No one can be born anew except with the Lord's help. So how are you going to learn to not want evil? With the Lord's help. Now, there's an important corollary. Anyone can be reborn or regenerated with the Lord's help. In a sense, it's not hard if you ask for the Lord's help. That's the difference, asking for the Lord's help. So often, we think our job is to regenerate, to be born anew. But if you pay attention, being born anew is a passive experience. Babies don't birth themselves, they are born. You cannot make your life anew. Only the Lord can. Which means in your work of repentance, if you are not asking the Lord for help, you will not go to heaven. It will not work. Without asking the Lord for help, you cannot be born again. And all the repentance, all the shunning of evils and sins that you may do and make a habit will be for naught, because your heart will still desire evil, and only the Lord can change your heart. We said at the beginning that there's a certain kind of anxiety that worries about all the silly things in life, like toys and food and clothing and wealth, taxes and tests. And that we should shun that kind of anxiety. But how do you change what you feel? Believe it or not, you can shun your feelings. There are feelings that you can reward and strengthen, and there are feelings you can shun. It's just like a thought. In fact, feelings are just like thoughts. Feelings come up when something happens. And just like any thought, you can shun them. So think about a thought. If you think, I want to steal this cookie, you can shun the thought. You can say, Lord, I know I want to steal the cookie, and I'm thinking about ideas of stealing cookies, but shun that idea for me, push it away, and help me think about something else. Not only will you stop thinking and planning about how to steal a cookie, you will actually want the cookie less. If, on the other hand, you really want to steal a cookie, and you don't steal it, but instead you go back to your room and you fantasize about what it would be like to eat that cookie, and you think about it, and you plan it, you think, if I could ever do it, then you're feeding the want of the cookie. You're making yourself want it more and more and more. The same is true with any evil and with the feelings that can come from it. You can obsess. You can control your thoughts to obsess on those negative feelings. Or you can ask the Lord to help you shun them. And think about something else. Think about heaven. Think about the people who love you. Think about all the things in your life. And ask the Lord to change your heart. And those feelings will subside. Feelings are temporary. Don't let them rule you. Shun evil feelings. Shun anxiety. Shun desire for all the evils that you may have. Shun covetousness. All the other 10 commandments, all the other 8, are about things you should do or not do. You should worship the Lord. You shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. You should honor the Sabbath, and you should honor your parents. You shouldn't murder, commit adultery, or lie, or steal. But coveting is, you should shun even wanting to. It's about your heart. So when you're keeping the commandments, remember all of them. Remember, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Amen.